This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Monday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. It is always a pleasure on Monday to welcome in the great EJ Raddick, NHL Now on the NHL Network between the hours of 4 and 6. And EJ, before we get we were talking before the show started, before we started recording this, that, you know, the best laid plans, right? You've got a whole day ahead of you to recap the weekend and closing out the unofficial first half of the season, and then we hear about the passing of Bobby Hull. So I guess before we really get into anything hockey now related, we have to just touch on the fact of, you know, one of the greats of this game passes away at the age of 84.
Yeah, Bobby Hull was definitely one of the icons of the sport. I mean, when you think about, you know, and at least when I was growing up, it was, you know, Gordie Howe. And, you know, previously it was the Rocket and then Gordie Howe and Bobby Hull. Obviously, there were some other legendary figures that played the game for many years. But, you know, Bobby Hull, I remember having that one of those games with the rods and the where you could play, you know, a board game of sorts. Not a board game, I guess, but, you know, where you pulled the rods and the play, you know, the guys. It was Bobby. It was called Bobby Hull Hockey. So, I mean, not many guys had their own game named after him. And, you know, he kind of, he was the first guy to make the big money in the NHL, signed the big contract, I guess, in the WHA, I should say, signed the big contract to play with Winnipeg in the WHA. I think he was the first guy to get, which might have been in that mix too, but first guy in the WHA to do that. And in the slap shot, known for that. Known for that, being on that Stanley Cup winner with the Chicago Blackhawks in the early 60s. I mean, he was definitely one of those guys. I mean, you thought about hockey in that era. You thought about Gordie Howe. You thought about Bobby Hull. Those were the guys that came to mind right away. So very sad to hear of his passing. He had a complicated life, apparently. He had other issues that kind of haunted him away from the ice. But clearly, as a player, he was one of the great players in the history of the game. He had over 600 goals as an NHL player, and then he had another, I believe, 300 something goals in the WHA. So really just one of the legends of the game. And, you know, my condolences to Brett and to the rest of the whole family.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, too. And you look at Brett's career and how maybe in a lot of ways he surpassed Bobby. Certainly statistically he did. And just the effect that he had on the game. So you don't really see father and sons be kind of at the same table that they were, right? If you're a sports, there's plenty of father-son combinations. But I don't know if you can really get more interesting and as comparable as Bobby and Brett.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, that's a father and son. They're both legendary figures in the game. So you'd have to think about it long and hard to think about, you know, in any sport, a father and a son that had that kind of, that had those kind of careers where the son even surpassed the father in terms of goal scoring. So it's hard to imagine.
Yeah, it really is. So he passes away at the age of 84, and you bring up the WHA, and, you know, the legend goes that he just threw out a ridiculous number and the Winnipeg Jets gave it to him, so he felt like he had to go to the WHA. And you just wonder, you know, you extrapolate it out, EJ, right? Like, does the WHA work at all if they don't make that deal? And listen, did it overall work? No, they got, you know, a little less than a decade, but, you know, we got the Winnipeg Jets, the Hartford Whalers, the Edmonton Oilers, and the Quebec Nordiques out of it. Those four teams still exist in some way, shape, or form in the current NHL. And you just wonder if the WHA never really got off the ground, you know, would we have those four teams? Would there be an Arizona Coyotes right now, an Edmonton Oilers right now, a Carolina Hurricanes, you know, right now, you know, and even the regeneration of the Winnipeg Jets, you know, so that's how much it affected hockey had maybe they didn't sign him to that contract. There would have been somebody else that would have been the ambassador of that league.
Yeah, Quebec would have, you know, ended up going to Colorado.
So right.
That was the other one of the teams there. But, I mean, obviously the history of the game would have been changed dramatically. And, you know, the WHA had a tremendous impact on the direction of where things were going to go with professional hockey in North America. And eventually, you know, they were included in the NHL, the four teams. And you're right, it's it's hard to know if there would be a team at Edmonton, for example, you know, if that would have happened. And obviously that became, you know, they became a dynasty in the mid to late 80s. So, I mean, that could have changed the trajectory of things. Wayne Gretzky, maybe he ends up somewhere else, completely different. Who knows? So, Bobby Hull going there certainly gave them credibility. They signed a number of other NHL stars at that time. And they did create kind of a bidding war. I guess that was in that era when you had the American Football League, the American Basketball Association, and then the World Hockey Association. You know, I don't think there was anybody that challenged Major League Baseball at that time. You know, even later you had the World Football League, right, which came even in the 80s. So, yeah, it was kind of a crazy era when you think back on it, Don, because you don't even think now. It's hard to get leagues off the ground and to have them be successful, especially challenging the, you know, the major sports leagues that have been in business for so long and have such a lock on, you know, on the individual professional sports. So it was a big deal. And Bobby Hull was a huge figure in Chicago. And he was a huge figure in Winnipeg and a huge figure in the history of this game. There's no question about it.
Yeah, you're right. All the sports kind of had that. Even going back to the World Football League in the mid-70s, where, you know, Larry Zonka defected to go to Memphis. Like, so every sport was looking to do that. What it did for money, you know, what it did for younger players being able to break into the league, just incredible everything that happened with that. So we send our condolences to the Hull family as he passes away at the age of 84. This kind of stumbled upon us. We got a tweet from Sean back on Friday about the NHL, in his estimation, and it's been banged around a little bit. We've even talked about this back in the days of the old NHL Live, EJ, of changing the divisions up to where the NFL has it, with having four divisions in each conference instead of two. So it would basically be 8 four-team divisions. And Anthony and I just kind of bandied it around, and I'm pretty happy what we came up with. Some fans wanted to tweak things, so I know you're driving, and I know you're trying to get in the right headspace for this, but I wanted to just throw it at you and just tell me what you think, okay?
All right.
So you got to keep the Devils, Rangers, and Islanders together, right? That's just like a no-brainer. So to me, that four-team division would be the Devils, Islanders, Rangers, and Flyers.
I would agree off the top of my head. That would make sense.
Yes. Now, the way I look at it, as far as the other divisions are concerned, then you would have to have what I believe would make sense would to be to have all of the Canadian teams in the East be together. So you'd have Toronto, Montreal, and Ottawa together with Boston.
Okay.
Keeps the Boston.
As you were saying that mentally for me, that was making sense. So yes, I agree.
And the other thing that makes sense, at least as far as I'm concerned, that old Southeast division, Washington, Carolina, Florida, and Tampa.
Okay.
Okay, and then where'd I do?
And you got Pittsburgh, Detroit.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. That's how I screwed it up. We had not Boston with the four. We had Buffalo, because Buffalo, its proximity, it's proximity to Canada. So it would be the three with how close it is to Toronto. So I figured we'd have. So that's where I screwed it up. So it'd be Buffalo and the three Canadian teams. And then I'd put Then I'd have Boston, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Columbus.
Okay.
And that would be, so it would be Washington, Carolina, Florida, then Pittsburgh, Boston, Detroit, and Columbus. Now there's no real place to put Columbus, right? It's a newer team. It doesn't really have a geographical rivalry, but it's still kind of in the geographical area of Pittsburgh and Detroit. And I wanted to keep Boston and Detroit to keep that original six rivalry kind of going. So that's the way the four divisions broke down in the East.
Okay.
Now, it does break up Boston and Montreal, which I think a lot of people are going to flip out about. But you can't make everything perfect.
It's not like they would never play under the LaGreca scenario.
Right. It's really the way, because I guess everything would kind of break down the same way as far as how often you'd play. We'd have to figure it out. They'd all be within, you know, one game or so of playing less than the other division, so we'd have to work out the scheduling, but it really wouldn't be that big of a deal. Now, you can plug in Boston back and put Buffalo in there, but I like the attractiveness of keeping the geographical rivalry with Buffalo there, and so that's the way I broke down the divisions in the East. So,
okay.
Some people have suggested, should we put Philly in with Washington, Carolina, move Washington? I don't know. I just think that makes perfect sense to me.
Okay.
All right. So that's the way I look at it. Now, in the West, it gets kind of interesting because
you have to make hard choices, Don. So, I mean, that's...
No, you do. It has been suggested by, like I said, people suggested, why don't you put Philly in and you move, Boston, put Philly in with Pittsburgh, Columbus, and Detroit, and put Boston in so you have that Boston-New York thing going. But Philadelphia really wouldn't... I guess you'd keep the Pennsylvania teams together, but... Pennsylvania is a pretty big state. They're not really that close together, so I would leave that. So you're right. You got to make tough decisions. Nothing's going to be perfect, but I'm happy with that. Now we go out west. So I think the natural one that makes perfect sense: Seattle, Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton. We can agree that should be the 4-team division there.
Okay.
And then you would have L.A., Anaheim, San Jose, Vegas. That makes sense, too. Right, you'd have all the California teams and Vegas.
L.A., so you'd have L.A., San Jose, Anaheim, Vegas. Okay.
Yes. Now we've got Colorado, Winnipeg, Minnesota, Chicago.
Okay.
And then Arizona, Dallas, Nashville, and St. Louis.
Okay.
So that's the way I break it down.
So I'm not on, that's a lot of travel for Nashville and Arizona, I guess. But at the end of the day, as I pointed out earlier, and, again, this is a mythical setup that you've created in your mind, which I sometimes wonder about over the years, but... Yeah, I guess, you're not playing only in the division, so you're playing all the, the schedule would stay relatively the same. You're just breaking it into different pieces.
Yeah, and I guess the whole idea of this, and then we can come up with different formats off of this, but I think that go to that old, are 8 teams in one division just too much? And then you've got the top 3 teams going in with the wild cards, where in this you'd have 4 division winners. So half of your playoff teams of the 16 would win their division. And then you could break it down to where, then you'd go with the highest seeds the rest of the way in each conference and do it that way for the other 4. If you really wanted to be controversial, just take the top 2 teams from each division and there's your playoffs. That would cause a lot of controversy.
Yes, it would. Because you have teams, inevitably, no matter how you break it down, you inevitably have teams, because of the cyclical nature of when teams are good and bad, you'd have divisions where 3 teams are really good, and you could even have a circumstance where 3 of, let's say, the best 5 teams in the league reside in the same 4-team division. And then you'd have a challenge because somebody would be out or somebody would have to play somebody early in the playoffs. I mean, we've had these conversations in the past, Don. I think you can slice it and dice it any way you want. You're always going to have issues.
Yeah.
And you're always going to have circumstances that are not perfect. I mean, the only way, I think, to create an equitable circumstance is just to have one 16-team conference and the top 8 teams by a point playing an equally balanced schedule end up in the playoffs. But, the negative about that is that, teams fall out and they have no connection to the playoffs for months. Whereas when you have divisions where you have teams get an opportunity to get in via the division or via a wild card, it leaves the door open for more teams to perhaps get in. So, or at least have meaning in their season as the season goes on. So, I mean, I think it's something they could do if they had a desire to do it. I don't think they do, but, I guess it brings us back to that discussion all the time because I saw it, recently. I think Larry Brooks had it in his column if not this week, last week, about, you know, the fact that the way things are right now in the Atlantic Division, you know, Toronto and Tampa are two of the, let's say, five best teams, and as they were last year, they are likely going to meet in the first round of the playoffs, and that's a little unfair of those particular teams, but that's the way this current format
sets things up. Yeah, I hate that.
In the other, you know, in the previous iteration of what they used to do with the playoffs, right, it was a 1-8 where the division winners got the first couple of seeds, and then, you know, you played kind of basically a wild card scenario from there out to fill it out, and then 1 played 8, 2 played 7. But even then, you have some really nasty 4-5 matchups because the way they did it, they allowed the division winners to have one of the first three seeds, and it usually created a difficult 4-5 matchup for somebody.
You know what's interesting is they want to protect the division rivalries, right? But the way I look at it, EJ, and you follow all the sports too, division rivalries to me only seem to matter in baseball and football because you play double the amount of games in your division than outside your division. So, you know, in baseball, the Yankees and Red Sox play 19 times. You know, so of course there's going to be a rivalry there. In football, you don't play anybody twice except the teams that are in your division. So obviously rivalries are built. I mean, what rivalries? What is it, one extra game? You know, the Rangers and the Flyers, you know, play 4 times, and the Rangers and the Canadians play 3. Like, so it's really about geographics. It's about how often you played in the playoffs together. You know, winning the division isn't something that you kill yourself over like you do maybe in other sports. So I'm just wondering, we're so worried about keeping the division rivalries. I mean, really, do they even exist as we know them?
Well, they exist, sir. I think that historically they exist. And I think that, you know, from an ownership perspective, they look at, you know, when certain teams come into their building that are historical rivals and, you know, more local geographically, then you have a better chance to fill your building. And when a team, you know, with less of a history and less of a connection to your franchise comes into your building, from an ownership perspective, maybe have a less of a chance to fill your building, or it's a less appealing game. So, you know, these are things that go back and forth. I always say that, you know, it's like any product. I mean, you know, I think you want to be able to sell your product in all of its markets. So, you know, Connor McDavid plays in Edmonton. I would hate to see a situation where Connor McDavid doesn't make at least one appearance in every building during the season because he's the most exciting thing about your product right now, right? So it would be unfortunate if a schedule existed where he didn't come to New York to play the Rangers or go to Philly to play the Flyers or go to Tampa to play the Lightning. But that's the battle we have back and forth, and it's the battle that goes on in really all the sports, and it goes on certainly in hockey, and it's gone on for years and years and years.
Right.
And there's a lot of ways, you know, to our friend Dave Maloney once said there's a lot of ways to skin the cat, and there's a lot of ways to slice it and dice it, and, you know, they do it this way now, and it's not perfect. The setup that you have come up with, I mean, would be interesting, but again, it wouldn't be perfect because the other situations are.
But more to my point, and I'm with you, I want to see Connor McDavid every year. You know, I want to be able to have every team come into your building at least once. Baseball's now going to do that, too, because they finally figured out. We got Mike Trout. We've got Shohei Ohtani. We want him to be in every building in the league. Yeah. So we want to make that work. But it comes at the expense of divisional play. Right, they added Vegas and Seattle. So what did the suits of the NHL said thought it was a good idea to take one of the Ranger Islander games away? You know, like, so, yeah, I hear what you're saying about wanting to keep the divisions and there's certain rivalries, but yet it's still every time they make a decision to the point of everybody coming to your building, it comes at the expense of divisional games. And now the Oilers and the Flames this year play 3 times. Yeah. That's the same amount of times that the Edmonton Oilers will play the Colorado Avalanche. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, I would say that they were talking about maybe going to an 84-game schedule that would allow for the teams in the division to play 4 times and you play everybody else twice, I think it is. And I'm like, I don't you know, and again, you get it, you know, you get into a whole thing with the wild card situation where the schedule is not exactly even for all the teams. I mean, it gets convoluted. And I've heard a lot of discussion about it. It would be nice to me, if you're in the Metropolitan Division, play everybody four times, so that's what? You play seven opponents four times, right? Would that be correct?
Yeah.
So that'd be 28 games. And then you play the other 8, 16, 24 teams twice, right? So that would be 48 games. So 48 and 28, whatever that comes out to. I mean, that to me, that would be the way to do it. So you're playing in the division four times against everybody, and then you're playing everybody else twice. I don't think you need to play in conference, other division in your conference three times. I mean, just play them twice, home and away.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. I'd
have to do the math, and I'm sure that people would say, though, but, you know, based on the schedule, we have wild cards. Is it fair to teams in different divisions who have a different schedule based on a little convoluted? It's probably a better conversation to have with Bill Daley or someone from the league. But, I mean, for me, I would just say that if you played everybody in your division four times and then you played everybody else in the league a home and away, that would be good for me. But I don't even know how many games that comes out to.
What did you say, 48 and 28?
I think it's...
That'd be 76, right?
I think so, yeah.
74.
76. You know? 74. But then you get into... Okay, do teams, do owners in the league want to play less games where you make less money and, you know, and there's less TV money? I mean, like, no, they don't. So again, for me, sitting here off the top of my head, Don, I would say that, you know, I guess the way I would sum up my feelings, and there's a lot of ways to figure these things out with how you sort things out in divisions and for playoffs, and none of them are perfect. And it's the same can be said for the schedule. And my feeling is I would like to see the teams in the division play each other four times during the course of the season at minimum. And the other teams, I don't think you need to play. I don't think the Rangers need to play the Canadiens three times at the expense of playing the Islanders an extra time.
Right,
so,
exactly.
You know, we just play the other teams home and away and that's it. But that's just my opinion, but just an opinion.
And with my format with the four divisions, the four division winners get the top four seeds, and then the other four seeds will be the four best teams that didn't win their division, and then we play a 1-8.
Yeah.
Now, the other argument is, do you want to reseed? You know, too, like do you want, like, because there's always going to be a weak division, right? You see it in the NFL. Both South divisions were awful. Tampa won their division under 500. Should a team that would probably not make the playoffs be a four seed because they won their division?
That's right, yeah. I mean, these are the things you get into, because there's no perfect scenario, and... You know, people argue about it all the time, and the playoffs, and the league. They have those discussions in the league every day. The GM's meetings, I'm sure things like this come up.
Well,
I think generally speaking, I don't think there's an appetite for change right now, but I do think there is a discussion about the schedule that's been ongoing, and I do think there's a possibility we could see two more games and have an 84-game schedule again, as we did, I believe it was in the early 90s when they added the games for neutral site games, which people who are listening to this now and under, you know, who are 20 years old or 25 have no idea what that is. But there was, in fact, and a great example of it, the Rangers and Devils, in the season where the Rangers won the Cup in 94, the Rangers and Devils played a neutral site game, I believe, at Halifax.
Right.
So it's kind of amazing to think that one of the Rangers-Devils games was not played at either the Meadowlands or the Garden in that year. And people who are not old enough would be surprised to learn that. But so it was an 84-game schedule at one point in time. And I do think there's a possibility we may see it again to kind of even out these games. But I think it is that will be discussed by the league and by the Players Association, and they'll have to make that decision. But I think there's a chance we would see more games and less games, and I don't know if that's great either, because I think we're already maxed out at games just because it's hard for these players to be, you know, competitively at their right. best, as demanding as this sport is.
Now, it's 1 o'clock. I've got about, you know, 30 seconds if I can carve out from you. Is there any discussion about doing like what the NBA did and have play-in games and expanding the playoffs?
There's, like, I would personally like to see it. That's just my opinion. There's a lot of people that would disagree with me. But I think it does create, I mean, we're in a different world now. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not 1963 anymore. So, I mean, there's a lot of this stuff that goes on. There's more and more teams that make the playoffs. You see it in baseball. You see it now in football. They've added a team. I would like to see it just because I think it would be interesting. It would keep more teams in the mix. This is a business. Create more games for television that people would be, there would be more intrigue. So I would like to see it. But that said, there is no appetite, based on what I know from league officials, to do that. So it's a conversation that, again, will happen from time to time. But at this point, as we sit here, okay. It is from the understanding that there's no appetite, really, to make that move by the league. And that's really, at the end of the day, they all make the decision. So at this point, doesn't seem like it's going that way anytime too soon.
All right. Well, I know you got to run. We'll save that debate for another day. Enjoy your day. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. You got it, Donnie.
All right. That's the great EJ Raddick. He had to run. He's got to get ready and make up and everything that he has to do for his NHL Network show, NHL Now, which will start at 4 o'clock Eastern time. We can really get into a good discussion with EJ. I hate the idea of the play-ins. I do. I mean, I think it's really watered down the regular season in the NBA. It would water down the same thing in the NHL. I mean, I give the NHL credit, right? I mean, it's been 30 years, over 30 years, that this was a 21-team league before the San Jose Sharks came in the 1990-91 season. So over 30 years, the league has expanded from 21 teams to 32 and has not changed the number of teams going to the playoffs. It was at 16 when it was a 21-team league. It's 16 to the 32-team league. And baseball, basketball, and hockey all have expanded their playoffs since they've expanded. The NHL is not. I do think it's probably inevitable, but I would hate to see it. It's a long season. I get it, and you want to try to create more interest, but I'm seeing it in the NBA where you've just got lousy teams who can call themselves playoff teams, and at the end of the day, does it matter? Because those teams will just get waxed in the playoffs anyway. The difference here in the NHL is that you do see teams make miracle runs. And if you see a team that's a 10 seed navigate their way to the Stanley Cup final and possibly win it, well, then what does the regular season even mean? You know, when 20 of your 32 teams are able to make it and any of them have a chance to win the Stanley Cup. I understand you're trying to generate interest around the league and get people excited, but it'll also make for a very ho-hum situation in a lot of markets where they know they're playoff teams and they want to make sure they finish as high as they can. And you can get real good playoff battles. And I would rather see a good team miss the playoffs and say, hey, it's just hard to make the playoffs, than lousy teams make it and say, well, everybody makes the playoffs. And I like the format that the NHL has. But as far as the 16 teams going, I hate the format that they have now, because everybody wants to get so caught up in these stupid March Madness brackets, which don't have any effect. It works for basketball. It's not a hockey thing. It works for elimination games, not for best of seven series. And to have, you know, two really good teams happen to be second and third in their division and be locked in to play each other, and then that means that, you know, really good teams are going to be gone in the first round of the playoffs when they deserve better than that. So that's why under my format that Anthony and I came up with, the four division teams automatically get into the playoffs. It locks you into the postseason, but it does not lock you into a top four seed. All right, especially since divisional play has been watered down anyway.
And then four wild cards?
And then you have the four wild card teams.
I don't hate that.
And then one plays eight, two plays seven, and go back to the old format. So if you win your conference, if you're the Boston Bruins this year, you know you're going to play the worst playoff team. Now, that you already get that now as far as like the wild cards are concerned, but then your second round matchup is going to be within your division, and it might end up being the Toronto Maple Leafs, who could end up being, at the end of the day, the second best team in the league. Does it make sense that in the second round, the best team in the league could play possibly the second best team in the league? Here, you're locked into playing the worst team, and then if you make it to the second round, you are locked into play the worst team that's left in the second round, and that's the way it should be. And that sets it up that once you get to the conference final, it'll be the two best teams that had the easiest path to meet each other. They may not meet each other. They might get upset, but that's the way I would like to see it. I'd like to go back to that 1-8 format. Wouldn't you, Anthony? I hate the fact that Tampa is going to play Toronto and that Boston is going to get the weaker wild card teams. They advance to the second round, that they might end up having to play, at the end of the day, the second best team. Right. Look at it right now. If the season ended today, Boston would play a wild card team. I guess whatever the wild card team, the last wild card team, they play Pittsburgh, right? So Boston would play Pittsburgh, and they advance to the second round. If Toronto beats Tampa, then Toronto would play Boston.
Right.
Right now, if you look at the overall league standings, Toronto's the third best team in the league.
Yes.
Does it make sense for the President's Trophy winner that in the second round of the playoffs, they're going to have to play the third best team in the league?
No. But how big a binder are we going to need to bring to the NHL offices? Can we borrow Michael's lamination system so we can get like the divisions laminated? We can get the playoff system laminated.
I'm putting this together. You laugh.
I had a nice long
conversation with Gary last Wednesday when I went to the island, and I am gonna set up a meeting.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna sit him down. And I'm gonna talk about this because their logic of having the format the way that it is. Oh, they love the bracket, so you can get the... We do it. We play the bracket here on Game Misconduct for the playoffs and all that stuff. All right, fine, but who cares? All right, that should not be... That's fun for the fans. That's no way to decide a Stanley Cup champion for the reasons that we just mentioned, that Boston might have to play the second-best team or the third-best team in the league in the second round. Makes no sense.
Did you see Isles, Mets, Jets fans' breakdown of how many times the teams play each other?
I want to see this.
Because that's interesting. Based on our division, he changed the division realignment, so let's just, you know, go with the fact that it's going to be the eight divisions.
Right.
Each division plays each other six times. That's 18 games, obviously. The other teams in the conference four times, so two home, two away. That's 48. So that gets you up to 66, which leaves you 16 games. Now, I think he says play the other conference two times. That doesn't make any sense because there's 16 teams. So you'd only be able to play the other conference once.
Once.
And then it would be kind of alternating home and away, essentially.
Yeah, and the kinda league like doesn't want that.
And I don't think the league wants that. So what you'd have to do is you'd have to find a way to get another... you'd have to find a way to get another 16 games somehow. So maybe you only play the other teams in the conference... How many times would that be? You'd have to get some games back because you'd have to get another 16 games.
So if we went, so he said eight in the division?
Six times you play the division.
Yeah. So you'd have to reduce it down to almost what it is now to be able to. But I like the fact that Connor McDavid comes to every building.
I don't hate the My dad always has this argument with baseball now with interleague is if you're gonna call it an interleague, why does it matter at this point? Especially now that there's the DH in the NL, now we're getting into other sports, but hockey isn't that much different. I know that the West Coast plays a little more open game and the East is a little more physical, at least that's what it generically has been over the last couple of years, but you don't have to play everybody. I like what you're saying, Don, because of course you want, if to grow the game, you want Connor McDavid to be in every building in every season. But if it's every other year, it's not the end of the world.
I know, but we get so caught up in the division. Like, listen, there's teams in the Rangers division that nobody cares about Columbus. They only care about Carolina now because Carolina is good. All right? It's about Pittsburgh. It's about the Islanders. It's about the Bruins. It's about the Canadiens. It's about the original six matchups. You know, right now there's a little cachet to the Kings because they played them in the Stanley Cup Final a few years ago. Like, I know it fluctuates, it changes, but you know how many? You know, we talk about the rivalry, Rangers, Capitals, same division. You know how many years they weren't even in the same division? And I told you there was briefly a time the Rangers and the Penguins were not in the same division. Like, so, it just
because you know they're going to keep the "we want to play everybody" thing. because they just got to it.
No, so they're not going to change that.
Once
so
we
anything,
bring this to the table, they're not going to tell us that we can't play everybody.
It's going to be a non-starter if they don't have like every team coming to every building. The other reason why they like the current format is because they feel like that the first two rounds of the playoffs, there seems to be a little less interest than you have in the third and fourth round. So they want to try to make sure you have divisional rivalries playing each other in the first or second round to generate more interest. So if, let's say, you know, in the first round of the playoffs, the Rangers were going to be playing, you know, I don't know, Buffalo, they didn't think there'd be as much interest. Whether they play the Devils, there'll be great interest. Usually, like right now, if the season ended today, the Devils and the Rangers would play each other in the first round. And they feel like that would generate more interest in the first round than, say, the Devils were playing some arbitrary team or the Rangers were playing some arbitrary team to keep it in the division. But my argument would be sometimes within the division it's arbitrary. Right? Because, again, is there any rivalry between the Rangers and the Columbus Blue Jackets? You know, because that could, you know, you're worried, so worried about the divisions, you know, and is there any kind of feel for, like, I don't know, Panthers Bruins last year? Yeah, they're rivals and they're two good teams, but there is no history between those two teams. So I want to make sure that there's a reason to play. You want to finish with the best record because you want to make sure that you get the easiest path to the Stanley Cup final. And that should be your motivation, which makes games more meaningful at the end of the season rather than a team, well, what do I care if I win the division or not? It doesn't matter. So we're going to change this all. We're not going to always have every podcast be about that, but there's only one game tonight. You know, we're already in kind of the break, so we really got such a tremendous reaction. We want to thank everybody on social media that contributed to this. I'm looking at it now. M. Thurman, Pete threw it out there. Nick, everybody's got, whether it's naming the divisions or not agreeing with where we put the divisions.
David Hine made the graphic for us. We really appreciate that.
The graphic was tremendous. I want to thank you for that, too. He did a great job with that. And that's why there was a lot of controversy over the Yager division. How can you have the Yager division not have the Pittsburgh Penguins, which I think kind of makes sense. So, I know there were people that wanted Nashville to be in
the East,
in the East with Tampa, Florida, and Carolina, and have Detroit back in the West. But I want to try to keep the Eastern teams in the East and have all of the Central, Mountain, and Pacific teams in the Western Conference. And as EJ said, you're not going to be able to come up with something that's going to make every single person happy. That goes for the playoff format as well, but I think we've got something to go in here. But again, it's not going to be dominating game misconduct the rest of the way. It's just we got such a reaction from it. We wanted to be able to have some fun. We wanted to get EJ involved in it as well. We're trickling into, God, I got to tell you, it's like a small drip into the All-Star break. There's one game tonight, the Jets home for the Blues. Three games tomorrow, Kings at the Hurricanes, Canadiens home for the Senators, Caps are at the Blue Jackets. Then two games on Wednesday, Hurricanes, Sabres, Leafs, Bruins. And then we go into the All-Star break, and there will not be another game until next Monday. And then we kind of get into the second half of the season.
You're making a pick tonight, by the way.
I got to make an ice pick, huh?
Well, either that or
a top
list.
Five.
That's right.
The Michael K. Show is what we're talking about.
This is called the pre-show meeting, everybody.
Yeah, the pre-show meeting. I can give you something. I got to look at the Jets who've struggled as of late, and the Blues haven't been that great either. So as we get kind of closer to the All-Star break here, Carolina's your division leader in Metropolitan Division. Devils had a really good week, 8-1-1, couple of come-from-behind victories. Boy, that team's got a knack for scoring late. They spotted Dallas two goals the other night, came back and won in overtime. So they're in second place with 68 points. Rangers with a win over Vegas, so they've got 62. Those are your top three in the Metro. Boston, Toronto, and Tampa. Boston's kind of slowed just a bit. They lost in overtime to the Panthers and then dropped the game last night. So Boston, I don't want to say they're struggling, but the Hurricanes, that was a big win for Carolina over Boston. So Buffalo's right in the mix. They're just a point back of Pittsburgh for that last wild card spot. The Islanders have kind of found their footing a bit. They've won a couple of games in a row, so they're only 2 points out of a playoff spot. However, they played three more games than Pittsburgh. That's what's happening in the East. In the West, Calgary is tied with Colorado for that final wild card spot. Nashville's lurking with 54 points, 3 points off the pace. St. Louis, they're kind of falling apart on us. They've lost four in a row. So it looks like as we get into the second half of the season, Nashville and Calgary, your teams on the outside looking in, still can make it. Buffalo and the Islanders, you want to throw Florida into the mix as well. They still have a shot. They're 3 points off the pace. But again, like the Islanders, they've played 52 games. So bunch of teams have games in hand on the Islanders and the Panthers. So had a lot of fun. Thanks to EJ Raddick again. Rest in peace, Bobby Hull. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday, and we'll get more thoughts. Maybe I'll even develop, Anthony and I, a real good playoff format with the way we have our division set up here. We're going to put it all together. It's going to go in a big laminated binder. Anthony and I are going to sit in the offices at the NHL and wait like we're going on a job interview, wearing our suits. We're going to get called in by the secretary. We're going to sit down with Gary, and then we're not going to leave that office until the format's changed. Or we're escorted out by the police. One of the two. Anthony, you ready to do that?
Absolutely. Let's do it tomorrow.
We'll talk to you guys on Wednesday. This was the Monday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.